Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship you. O God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
The deep places of the earth are made God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship you.
We sing together our introit.
As the burden of all.
May I be seated for our office hymn, hymn 797, hymn 797.
Thank you. Holy Scripture. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, our foundation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, our foundation of
glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. We sang just a moment ago, "Trust not in rulers, they are but mortal. Earthborn they are and soon decay. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal. When the dark grave engulfs its prey. Since mortals can no help afford, place all your trust in Christ our Lord." Alleluia! Alleluia! Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, words, they're all around us. Words, good, bad, indifferent, sometimes ugly. Words, in our gospel reading for today, Luke 19, 41 to 48, at the very end of our text, we see that people, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders, wanted to get rid of Jesus. They wanted to arrest him. They wanted to destroy him. But they couldn't, because all of the people were hanging on his words. Pretty neat word picture, isn't it? To hang on someone's words. Think about it. Hanging on words. In many respects, it sums up our life. It really does. Now, as we gather here today, we are 6 days away from the beginning of Nebraska football, the state religion of the university or of the state of Nebraska. People, for 12 months, have been hanging on the words of Scott Frost, the athletic department. Every journalist that says anything positive ever about Nebraska. Yesterday it was even Urban Meyer. He's everybody's hero now. We hang on words. What do you think of the new black uniforms? Or the captains that were announced yesterday? Will Maurice Washington get to play? Do you believe the hype? Everybody is hanging on those words. And it doesn't have to be Nebraska football. Whatever your favorite team is, whatever your favorite sport is, whatever your favorite leisure or recreation activity is, we hang on those words. It has become quite popular, at least for the last 4 years, to hang on political words. It doesn't matter if you are Fox or CNN, MSNBC. Whichever words you hang on, the other ones are fake news. We hang on the words of our president. Sometimes when you hear him, you turn off the TV. Other times, you can't wait to get enough. What did he say this week? What did he tweet this week? Oh, we're going to build a wall. Oh, we're going to buy Greenland. Either he is the most intelligent negotiator in the world or a fool. We hang on his words, and it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are, R, D, I, you hang on his words to puff up or to tear down. And it doesn't stop at the White House. Hanging on those political words trickles down all the way to the local government and the local school board race. Hanging on words. What words do you hang on? Sometimes those words are of a much more personal note. We hang on the words of a doctor or a surgeon telling us the outcome or the diagnosis. We hang on the words from our boss to find out if we're going to get that raise or promotion or maybe get laid off. We hang on the words of our boyfriend or our girlfriend or our husband or our wife, our parents, our children. Sometimes those words are words of love and compassion and intimacy. Sometimes they are words of hate. Sometimes those words are words of indifference. What words are you hanging on? Maybe the answer is just more words. If we could just have more words, then we would have a better life. My friends, we live at a time when there has been more information available at the touch of a screen than ever before. People cannot put down their handheld device. Not when they drive, not when they go to school, not when they sit around the dinner table. Guess what? Guess what I see? Not even when you go to church. People think that more words is the answer. But it's not, is it? We live in an echo chamber world where we only want the words that we want. And if somebody else has words that we don't want, we shut them out. We refuse to have a conversation. Or we just zone out from all words and go on a Netflix binge. words. We want words to give us hope and comfort and peace and life and salvation. We want peace, peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of soul, peace in the family. And yet the harder we want these things, the more elusive they seem. God's word tells us there's nothing new under the sun. The situation we find ourselves in, oh yes, we may have more technology, but the situation we find ourselves in is exactly the same situation that Jesus encountered in our text. Luke 19, 41 to 48. It's early in Holy Week. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. Jesus looks over the situation in Jerusalem. Many people are consumed hanging on the words of their sports and recreation and leisure activity. Many people are hanging on the words of their political leaders and politics in general. Many people are hanging on the words for their own personal struggles and issues and problems. And Jesus looks out over the city, and there's only one thing that he can do. He weeps. He weeps. He weeps over the city of Jerusalem. He weeps over the inhabitants of Jerusalem. My friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus weeps over us. Why did he weep then? He tells us, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." We want peace. We strive for peace. We do everything humanly possible to try to create our own peace. And we don't know what peace is or where peace comes from. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. God has given us all that we are and all that we have. We take the gifts of God and we turn them into idols, rather than enjoying our recreation and leisure. We let it control us and consume us, and we worship it. Rather than joyfully participating in the political process as a part of our Christian vocation, we become consumed by it. It consumes us. And we are ready to go to war with anybody who doesn't believe and think exactly the way we do. We look in the mirror and we assess our own life situation and we think, it's all up to me. It's all up to number one. If I don't do it, it won't get done. Did you notice anything left out of that equation? My friends, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Lincoln and beyond, are hanging on the wrong words. If we would know what would really bring us peace, Jesus says, all these things that you cling to, that you hang on, they're temporal. They have no lasting value. Enjoy them now. Use them. Appreciate them. Give thanks to God for them. But the things of this world will all end in dust. Don't cling too tightly to them. to them. They can't bring you peace, not real peace, lasting peace. In the same way that Jerusalem was destroyed, we have the temple, the temple, the temple. The things that we cling to, even the God of football, it's not going to last forever. My friends, Jesus teaches us the key to peace is in knowing God's visitation. They will not leave one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. My friends, if you know someone is coming over to your house, you may not be happy about it, but at least you will prepare. Why is it we cringe when somebody pulls in the driveway or walks up and rings the doorbell? We're not ready. God tells us the time of God's visitation is now. Now. Why? He wants us to prepare. Literally, he wants us to get our house in order. He wants us to hang on the right words. Guess who's coming to dinner? God! The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Second person of the Trinity. The eternal Logos. The eternal Word took on flesh and blood. He made his dwelling among us, first in the womb of the Virgin Mary, then born for us and for our salvation. Jesus, true God and true man, places himself under God's condemning law, the law that condemns all of us, especially condemning us when we cling to the wrong words. Jesus fulfills the word of God for you and for me and for the entire world. Jesus, the word of God, takes all sin, your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, all of our idols, all of our striving and yearning after false words that give us false hope and a false peace, and all of the words, the sinful, hurtful, hateful words we speak, all of our sin and more onto himself and into himself, bleeding and dying on Jesus Christ. This is the visitation that God has given us. He has visited us in order to save us. From the cross, Jesus speaks a word to you. It is finished. Your sin, all of your sin, has been paid for by the bloody death and 3 days later, the glorious resurrection of Jesus. The word now that screams inside and outside the church, he is risen. He is risen indeed for you and for the life of the world. The word comes to you in the waters of holy baptism. You are adopted into his family. God speaks his word into you, your ear and into your heart and into your soul. His word gives life. His word changes and amends our sinful life. My friends, all that we have, all that we are, all that we truly love and treasure and appreciate in this world is a gift from God. If God has loved us so much, that he would give us everything, including his kingdom. If God would love us so much that he would give us eternal life through the gift of his Son, wouldn't we want to listen to what he has to say? Wouldn't we want to hang on his words? Because his words are different than the world's words or the words from my sinful heart. My friends, today, it is a good question for each of us to ask ourselves. What words are we hanging on? What words are we clinging to as if they are life and death? Perhaps the familiar words from our liturgy should be the words for us today. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. May God bless us that we hang on his words today and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our words in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to sing our praises to the one who gives us all good gifts. We sing the Te Deum, page 223. Please stand as you're able.
We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry out, the heavens and all the powers therein. To you cherubim and seraphim, God, continually do cry. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of martyrs praise you. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge you. The Father of infinite majesty, your adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When you took upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand
be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word, for us and for our salvation. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet throughout the world. We pray that the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes from the Word of God for you would be your peace and comfort today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
We continue our service on page 227 with prayer. Please stand for the Kyrie. Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all of your goodness, and we bless you for the love which sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of life that is to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all the things that you have done for us, and enable us to hang upon your word in all that we do as we live our lives wholly given into your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your entire church, which you purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, grant your wisdom and grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom may increase. Lord, in your mercy, send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear the offices in our land, especially our president and congressmen and women, our governor and legislators, and to all of those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice, give us the spirit of love, and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all people. Lord, in your mercy, bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research, and those who teach and those who work within them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy, sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism. Enable parents to bring up their children in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and throughout all the world. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or adversity, especially those in our own midst, including Ben, Barb, James, Linda, Rebecca, Tish, Ralph, Ruth, Gerald, Stacy, Haley, Ella, Michael, Rita, Loretta, Scott, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith, bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you also, Lord, for all the blessings which you pour out upon us. We give a special thanksgiving this morning for 73 years of marriage for Don and Darlene Weesey, and that you may continue to bless them and keep them in that gift of marriage for all the days of their life. We also give thanksgiving for the long recuperation return home of Harlan Chamberlain, and ask that you would continue to watch over him and keep him. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all of our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 873, hymn 873. You may be seated.
And welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of announcements before we dismiss. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there, along with extra information about many of them. Thanks to everyone who helped on Friday with the Red Cross blood drive. The next one has already been scheduled. It's a Saturday. Saturday in November. I don't know. Adam, where are you at?
October 19,
and since you're hanging on football words, it's an open game Saturday. There is no game scheduled that day, so there's no reason to not give blood. How's that sound? Yeah, whatever. Okay. Thank you, Adam. We've got coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. Sunday school for all ages. We'll have Sunday school opening in here at about 9:20. One opportunity for adult Bible study today, and that's in the fellowship hall. We'll continue our look at Romans chapter 4. Were you trying to stop me with the Sunday school opening?
Reminder to the high school class, the junior high school class, we are meeting down here before we go up to the junior high room upstairs.
Okay. All right. Good luck with that.
Yep.
We'll pray for you. Yes. Goodies there. If you haven't picked up your pictorial directory yet, if you had your picture taken, there's a book out there with your name on it. So if you haven't picked that up yet, please do so. And maybe we can have some of the elders or ushers keep an eye out in case somebody is here and forgot they got their picture taken and book and all that kind of stuff. You saw in the news and notes, you heard in the prayers that Pastor and Elizabeth's daughter, Ella, is at Children's Hospital in Omaha. She's been sick for over a week. She's hospitalized here in Lincoln. Couldn't figure out the problem. Took her to Children's Hospital in Omaha. Still have not figured out the problem. It is, as of yet, undiagnosed intestinal virus, they think. And a very sick young girl, so please keep her in your prayers. I told Pastor that I was going to say, we have made our statement. We will be making no additional comments. So take it easy on Pastor with regard to having to relive the last 7 days from everybody here. They know everybody is concerned. They're overwhelmed with the concern. Everybody wants to do something, but it's just like salvation. Right now, and nothing you can do. Okay? So pray. That's the strength and encouragement that they need. All right, how'd I do?
Just fine.
Okay. All right. Please join us for coffee and goodies, fellowship time, and hang on the words of Jesus. Amen.